Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to another episode of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys.
I think I'm going to point out.
Yes.
Sometime, almost every single week,
yes.
Both of you end up laughing during that intro.
Yeah.
Because you will mildly fuck something up.
Briefest
moment's pause. And I think it would be indistinguishable and confusing to everyone else listening.
I always think like I've gotten away with this. And then I see a little smirk starting to creep across the face of the man sitting across from me.
It's usually more that I'm realizing like, oh, that's right, we're doing a comedy podcast.
Just the concept makes you laugh.
Time to start having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like how whenever I'm cooking, I chew.
Yes.
Yeah. My mouth is just going and going. I've bitten my fucking lip twice in the last day or two, like in the same exact fucking bit.
Oh, the worst.
It's swole up a little.
Yeah.
And I got more in the way of my fucking fangs. Mm-hmm.
I gave my tongue an absolute beauty the other night.
A real chomping.
Really felt like it's a miracle this thing didn't just get sliced in half. It fucking
came. When you properly bite the way that you would into meat, I feel bad for them chickens, man.
Yeah.
Because I am absolutely...
And you're eating them live.
Of course I am. Yeah. I'm putting on a rock show.
Oh,
I have to bite the head off of something.
I was going to say, so in your head, that's the cruelest part of eating meat. It's not the... abattoir or the any
the
of that killing
that they
it's
live
the,
in.
That's all humane.
It's the chewing of the
way
carcass.
I store, cook, eat and dispose of them. Nothing humane about any of that process.
Yep.
And I think they hate it. They're always giving me the cold shoulder. They're real quiet the whole time, like pissed off at me, sitting in the fridge like not saying anything.
It's hard to start a conversation with them.
Well, I got distracted while I was starting that intro. What put me off then was that this little earbud I've got in to monitor the levels keeps slipping out of my ear because I'm fresh out of the shower. I think my eardrum is a bit too lubricated.
Oh.
And the earbud is just kind of slowly sliding out.
Your clothes are just slipping right off as well.
You didn't dry yourself at all.
No, Ben.
Sitting here, half a towel.
Yeah, Ben got here a little bit early and had to wait in my living room while I hopped in the shower. And I was just like, I got to race out of here because I don't trust this cunt around my... He's going to go through my fridge. He's going to fucking go through my
chat to
drawers.
The chickens in there. Hey, guys, it's not Tommy. It's just me. You can talk to me. I'm one of the good ones.
Now,
you
be honest.
What do you think? I have taken something from your room and I've put it in my bag. Can you figure out what it is?
We should say our names first.
Okay.
This is the time. Mid-interaction.
All at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. This could be someone's first episode.
Exactly.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. All they know is that it's morning and video games are here.
Yeah. It's not morning. Tommy had a shower at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
But hey, maybe someone's listening to this.
Tommy Dasilo.
Oh, I thought you were just going to tease
Ben. Ben Vanell.
Yes. And I'm Adam Knox.
There we go. That's my name really though. I want everything to be up in the air and open. The opposite of up in the air.
Yeah,
out
solid.
In the open. I've confused the two. Yeah, what do you reckon he's stolen?
Is it... Okay, let me ask a question.
Yes.
Is it something that I would visibly be able to notice from sitting here that it's missing? Or did you get this out of a drawer or a cupboard?
I don't think it would be visible, no.
Okay.
What have I stolen?
Is it my frying pan?
No, but that has gone missing.
I lost a frying pan.
That's a great story.
The chickens. Having revenge.
Like Chicken Run, but they just hide the frying pan and then get back in the fridge.
Yes.
They're all naked the whole time. It's like the porno version.
The answer is nothing. I stole nothing.
Oh.
What
was a trick question.
If rich people have it, poor people have it.
Yes.
Rich people need it. And if I eat it, I'll die. The answer is...
A fish.
Yeah.
It's a fish.
A dead body in the boot.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
What is the actual answer?
Nothing.
Oh, nothing. Okay. Yeah.
It's the same one. That's like the riddle.
Well, Ben, I'm the Riddler. You stole my heart with that cheeky little prank you pulled on me just then.
Oh, good. I guess that's, yeah, that's what I've stolen.
A heart, eh? I guess you'd have to say sayonara to that heart.
Mm.
That heart would be out in the wild. Oh,
yeah, it's out in the wild.
Yeah. Man. I played Concrete.
The Witcher 3, Sayonara Wild Hunt.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you and I both played Sayonara Wild Hearts. Yes. Did you play it on Apple Arcade?
No, I played it on Switch on the TV.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting. How much was it?
It was like $18, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, I didn't like it and I got it for free.
You got? Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, Apple Arcade has it for free.
Yeah, I cancelled Apple Arcade.
Right. Well, you've saved your money.
Yep. Well, in a way, I got it for $10.
Sure. What a bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a...
Should we not do everything else before we do the review? We went to PAX.
I guess so, but we can just do this first. There's no structure here. Okay. Okay. We're talking about it now.
Adam's a slave to the segue.
Yeah, if we segue into something...
That's a good point.
I'm not fucking jumping back over to...
Yeah, the number of times on this pod you lead into something just because someone said something that vaguely rhymed with the topic, I'm like, I don't want to talk about this now.
It doesn't matter. You gotta roll with the punches that life brings.
I want to keep talking about this shower that I had 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Sayonara Wild Hearts, which we're talking about for the remainder of this podcast, is
unless we can segue out of it naturally,
unless someone can think of a phrase that's used that could mean something else.
Yes. You'd be a good Batman villain, the Segwayer.
Yeah.
So you just lock Batman into a conversation, and you're like, you can't get out of this one unless some kind of pun comes up.
You should have brought that up when we were talking about riddles and the Riddler before.
Oh,
right now,
God.
It's completely out of context.
He's done me again.
Yes.
What would the little symbol be on your costume
for the Segwayer?
Yeah.
Mm.
Would it be a Segway, like the motorized transport?
No.
It's too hard to do in silhouette.
Yeah.
He'd definitely ride a Segway.
He would ride one.
Yeah. Look like a penis. And so
that's I love that though. It, just people thinking he's just got big silhouette dicks all over his outfit. He's like, there's segways.
It would just be like either like an ellipsis or a comma or a semicolon or whatever piece.
Semicolon.
Semicolon's
punctuation is the most effective for that. Yeah.
I was gonna suggest like a bunch of arrows, just kind of kind of pointing in and out of each other, like kind of whipping all around, maybe. But the semicolon is
everyone in Gotham would have to just never bring him up. Or else he'd jump in through the window and be like, speaking of me.
Speaking of me.
Yes.
A great way of announcing yourself into any room.
Standing outside the door for 8 minutes to talk about Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yes.
It's a rhythm. Well, not really a rhythm. A kind of rhythm-y.
Sort of. Yeah.
It's have you ever played Audio Surf?
No.
It's the, that.
Right.
Audio. And like on the PS2, there were games like Frequency and another one that the Guitar Hero people made before they made Guitar Hero.
Well, Guitar Hero, it's like, it's similar to that. You're just like moving your thing to the string of the guitar,
that
essentially.
That was Frequency and the name of the other one that Harmonix made before Guitar Hero.
Right.
So you're moving an object, your character, left and right. And in the center, pretty much, or like more lanes or less.
In like vertical space
and occasionally pushing a button.
Yes.
There was a game similar to this called, I think, Thumper.
Yep,
that
Thumper.
People were enjoying. It's, dotting around and like techno music. Yeah.
It's a rhythm game pretty much, but it's so loose on the rhythm. It really doesn't matter with this one. So there's
like me in a nightclub.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or... And in the rhythm of the night. There's no way I'm going to be able to remember who made that song. It's truly unimportant as well. Who cares? There's like a constant song playing, an album.
Yes,
has
it's
been
an album.
Made for this game.
The marketing is the game is an album, is a pop album as a game.
Like electro pop kind of late 2000s style.
Yeah. All of the references are like. For me, are like this stuff. I don't know if you, Tommy, maybe you as well, Knox, listened to like a lot of modular record stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Like cut copy presets.
Yeah.
Kitsune Maison, the fashion label, used to release a compilation with sort of like Two Door Cinema Club, like Hearts Revolution.
They still do. They're still bringing those
albums.
Really?
Do they still?
Yeah.
Right.
There's something about this, though, that is weaker than them. To me, or it's just like a little plainer or like, I don't know, maybe it's because it is in the background of these levels that you're doing.
Yeah.
That it fades into that background, but I really found it pretty dull,
a lot of the
music in this.
This is probably the most enjoyable game I've played this year.
Right, I hated it.
Like, it was pure fun. Like, I had just been trying to play Celeste and failing these levels over and over and over and hating it and getting so frustrated. I was like, fucking, why is this so hard? And then I think I had seen Sayonara Wild Hearts in the eShop. It was like, the cover image looks kind of interesting to me.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll just try a different game. Went, downloaded it, started playing it. The like credits, I was like, oh fuck, all right, I'm into this. Like, the production logo is coming up, like the neon and sort of the purples and stuff. The music, I just love. It's the kind of music that I like.
Right.
And yeah, even like the transitions, the menu music, just everything about the style, I was like, this is really enjoyable. And then the game is like basically not a game.
No.
Like, it's,
you're sliding left and right with very, very loose timing windows on when to do it.
Yeah.
It's not a rhythm game so much as like a dodging kind of game, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
Occasionally you're pushing a button within like a pretty wide window.
Yeah.
And you're more watching this animation unfold in front of you.
Yes.
Kind of trying to pick up these
So yeah, that's the items. You pick up parts and items and things. There, you get a score at the end of every level.
Yeah.
So the more that you succeed, and it would be hard to get gold. Like, if you were wanting to collect every single of these items, you really do have to be tight on your movement and stuff like that. Like, in that sense. And it's not really rhythm, because it's not necessarily motivated by the music.
Nah.
It's more just like having to play the level a few times to be like, you got to move here and here and here. And to get these extra ones, you have to know. It's, yeah, that more sort of flow of gameplay.
It changes it up a bit as well, where there's sort of like an asteroidsy type level and a couple of other changes where every kind of song has a different-ish thing going on.
Yeah, sometimes there will be, you know, like a lot of these sort of like constant forward motion games, like, if you don't move left at this time, then there's a fucking dead end and you die and you start again.
Yeah.
And music goes and you go back into the song. Sometimes it's like you have to hit these teleporter things to go faster, but then I guess you miss some of the collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
There's like sharp turns that you have to hit these like little wheels to make the turn, otherwise you crash. So there are a couple of little sort of variations on how you're essentially moving forwards at all times.
But is it? It seems like it's mostly about it being an interesting way of consuming this music. This
kind album. Of. Basically, and visuals. Like,
right. The visuals are also, yeah, like the color palette is not particularly inventive. It's very much like if you look at
neon,
an 80s Photoshop template. It's cyan and magenta and that's about it.
Yeah. Good colors though.
Great colors. Mm. But it is more about how they're presented. There's sort of, I think, interesting character designs, but also the way the worlds are drawn. The different sort of themes of each one. There's a forest, there's a city, there's, you know, different kind of themes and stuff. It's just done really slickly and really smoothly. And I think if you like the music, it's like a 90-minute music video.
Pretty much.
I guess.
Yeah, an interactive little music video.
Yeah.
Which I didn't particularly like the music and got bored of this by the end. I was just so bored.
If you didn't like the music, I can't imagine that there would be any appeal for the game at all.
No, and like the little kind of background story that it has going on, I really didn't like. It's like,
which I didn't pick up on, really.
Right.
Like, at all.
Right.
I was just like, oh, there's like foxes and now she's got a sword. Like, it's just kind of played like an abstract Adventure Time episode
or
something.
It's like how a four-year-old consumes media.
Yeah. But it is very simple.
Right.
I think
it's
supposed to be very simple. Or simplistic, yeah.
Like, the whole... There's one bit of narration at the start, but done by... that's out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It surprised me at the end of the credits, but it's like, and thanks to Queen Latifah.
Wow.
Yeah. For narrating.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that was her.
Yeah.
But it's like some bullshit about the cosmos and then a girl with a broken heart, they needed to repair shit.
And it's the frame of the structure is tarot cards. So it's like you're the fool. I think you are the fool, right? Your character.
Yeah.
And then it's like you got to beat like the bosses that are like the fucking hanging man. And, you know, like there's a few of the classic ones. Death is one of the middle ones.
It's, but they are all... My interpretation of it was because she starts off in this bedroom and keeps saying heartbreak and all this stuff. Woman who's been through a breakup, going through previous breakups, fighting memories of these exes, I guess.
Right.
Mm.
Beating them, overcoming them, coming to terms with herself at the end, you know, but that sort of shit.
Right.
And that really turned me off of it. I don't like stories that place huge cosmic importance on breakups and stuff like that. I think it's one of the lamest things. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
You don't like Scott Pilgrim, bro?
Fuck off! Yeah, exactly. That sort of stuff where people are like, there's this weird kind of egotism isn't the right word, but like very self-absorbed point of view that a lot of breakup stories are from the perspective of.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And I really, really dislike
but
that.
It's also every time anyone ever has a breakup, they only see it from their own perspective.
But that's
anytime you talk to a friend about a breakup, that's what's happening.
Sure, and I think that's I don't think that's true for one thing. But also, I think doing like that's different to deliberately making a story about it where your character is the motorbike hero and you're beating up the old ones. It's not a huge point, but I just thought it was kind of a lame story.
Right. I think the reason that's such a that is a popular trope is because I agree. I think a lot of people do see themselves.
Right.
Not everyone, but I think it is a pretty common thing of like people don't focus on what they potentially did wrong. Like if you've been broken up with or whatever, you really do only see it from one perspective. And but if you've been with someone a long time, it's like it does feel like it has this cosmic importance because it's like if it hits you hard enough, it's like, oh, my life's just over now forever.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Which lasts for like, well, however long, not forever, but it certainly is something that I think most people would identify with.
I don't
even
think
if they don't like it about themselves.
I don't think it makes for an interesting story at the very least.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think it's like the fun, cool way of looking at it.
Mm.
Like this, like it's a separate point. Like because some of it is my interpretation of what the game was doing.
Yeah.
But like,
it's interesting though, because we're in agreement on that.
Yes. Yes.
Even though I absolutely relate to that idea, like I have been through breakups where it's just completely fucked me, and I've gone, "This is the most important thing," certainly in my world. Mm. But then when I see a lot of times when I see that reflected in media, when it's like a series or a movie that starts with someone going through that and they're being very melodramatic about it, I'm still like, fucking get over it. even though I absolutely relate and I'm like, that literally was me 6 months ago. Right. I'm like, shut up. You'll be fine.
Right. I think I try and force I the way I am with myself makes me go, I'll fucking get over it with anything I ever feel.
Yeah.
Right.
I try and nip it in the bud.
Yep.
So this would be like an 8 second long rhythm game where it'd go like da 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 da, ah, who cares?
I mean, that
someone who's skilled at Flash, can you make that up for us? Knox's 8 second rhythm game.
Make it interactive, but make it last for eight seconds.
It just all dissipates and
da 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 da. Who cares?
The rest of the game is just you eating. But like
it is a whole separate discussion.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes for an interesting story in this game is more my point.
What I thought was interesting to think about is like if a song or an album is like has themes of breakups in it.
Yeah.
I genuinely like I'm not having an emotional reaction to that as in like the musician telling me a story about their breakup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you listen to a song and you like the song but it's about a breakup, or do you listen to a song and listen to the lyrics and be like, it's about a breakup, I hate this song.
Not I hate this song, but
or
like
I dislike it.
It's or I just like go, ah, this is boring.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I think it's one of the most dull emotions to explore is just like,
sure.
You know what I mean? Like it's self-pity.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And any story about self-pity ends up being like fucking on the fucking Holden Caulfield bullshit, fucking Catcher in the Rye bullshit. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And that kind of stuff I think is some of the least interesting shit that there is.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, you get Stripes.
Right.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
That starts with a breakup and they join the military. And I tell you what, it gets funny.
Mm-hmm.
The game was not funny. I will agree with that.
No, but and it just
what
like,
about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? Do you like that film?
Nah, shit.
Interesting.
Do not like it.
wonder if there's one breakup thing that you enjoy.
What about the movie The Breakup?
I don't know it. Right. But I've probably avoided Vince Vaughn, it deliberately.
Jennifer Aniston? Come on.
Maybe like...
John Breon doing the soundtrack, though.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Yeah.
Good soundtrack.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I like music when it's about breakups.
What's some breakup music? Because I was trying to think of some like, what's a good song that I like that is about breakups?
Yeah.
More so, there's been albums that I've not been particularly into on first listen. Mm. And then when I've read stuff about the artist going like, yeah, I got divorced last year and it's sort of mostly about that. I'm like, oh, right. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But get
sure.
it.
Very interesting.
Go off.
Yeah.
Themes about that. Like, often a song about being alone is interesting, or a thing about being alone. Because like, everyone is alone.
Or
even
regret.
If you're with someone. Yeah. You know what I mean? You
yeah.
can, that sort of
but
shit.
But everyone's gone through a breakup. That's
yes.
why people keep coming back
but
to
everyone's
it.
Everyone's wiped
so
their
universal.
Ass and it's not like that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's
that
not the interesting part.
But you weren't dating that shit for 3 years.
You had yeah. it inside you for longer than some of them.
Well, that depends on what you like to.
But like it there's more interesting stuff in a breakup. Like the thing that this does is goes through Scott Pilgrim style, fights all the exes. Is my interpretation of it?
Because
I might
it's
be
like
way off base.
It's some of them are like groups.
Yeah,
a lot of them. Most of them, it's like a group of people, and you fight
cool,
one
like
at the
Shadow
end.
Foxes or whatever.
Yeah,
and there's
yeah.
one like main one.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
way I took it to be, I the way it came across to me is that this person would have a little journal of the people they slept with.
Yeah, yeah.
And the main one was the relationship, and you sleep with some others around that time.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? That's the way it came across. Or the extra ones were just because they do group shit for the gameplay.
Sure, right.
There's sort of four main ones mm-hmm. that you go through. And I didn't think they were interestingly designed at all.
Oh, really? I did. Yeah. I also, like, I don't think it's crazy to have the interpretation you do.
Right.
But I don't think even the makers of the game put that in there. Like, I definitely think you could be like, yeah, this is a series of X's. Or friends,
in
even.
Between every level, there's a thing called heartbreak.
Yeah,
and that's to
yeah.
start you with the next level.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's pretty strongly.
Yeah, I don't even think like the perspective that you are inferring from it
right.
is necessarily their perspective. It's just like there are several characters.
Sure.
And you fight them, and that's what happens.
And at the end, you kind of forgive them. And then
do you?
Yeah.
I know you do it with the last one, right?
And you go through all the other four.
Don't you just fight them and then the level ends?
Yeah, and then at the very last thing, you go through all the previous ones and she kisses all of them. This is kind of spoilery now, but...
Oh, I didn't... I remember she kissed one of them.
There's like the dragon at the end and then the other four previously too.
Right, right.
And anyway, it doesn't really... And then she like sits down with the guitar and is like clearly like, oh, I'm okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't know who to side with here. The man who by his own admission has never connected with anything about a breakup.
Not never.
Or the man who
with.
By his own admission didn't take down any of the key details about the story or anything that was going on the screen outside of the music.
It's like if you listen to an album
yeah.
once... Would you have to tell me what happened in every song?
Yeah, good point.
Like,
yes. On our Patreon episode, I will go through and describe
oh, here we go.
A full album from memory.
All right.
But it's, yeah, it's more like, I don't know, like it's like I watched a movie and I was like, oh, I like that movie.
I think because the music and the visuals weren't really grabbing me that much too, I was kind of trying to look
searching
for anything
for
to
yeah,
latch onto.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the gameplay is fucking dull. Like, it's a very... straightforward version of this type of game that there've been a few of.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded if there was, because there's no challenge to the game.
Unless you're doing like those high scores, but I don't.
Yeah.
I tried for that on some of the levels earlier on and realized like, oh, this isn't interesting.
Yeah, I will definitely be playing this again.
Sure.
Because it's like, oh, like I listen to the music again.
If you've got Apple Arcade, it's free.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta give
it's
it a go.
It's a 90-minute thing. Give it a go. For
yeah.
that. Like I'm not pissed off that I spent an hour and a half with it.
Yeah.
But
I loved that it was so short.
Right, yeah.
I was like,
me too.
Oh, fuck, I can finish this game.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much shit in my backlog that I'm just never going to be able to finish in my life.
It does sound like it's an interesting way of A, consuming an album, and B, just consuming a different type of game.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a little palate cleanser in between everything else.
Yeah.
It felt like a nicely produced one of those like flash game type of things where you do just a series of little levels and then you're done.
Yeah. Mm. Seems like it'd be a good thing to play on a plane. Just lock in, take down the whole hour and a half.
If you have a way to control it that isn't the touch controls on an Apple thing, the touch controls
work. Or just play it on Switch in handheld. That's how you probably would play it on a plane.
Yeah.
But then I was playing it at night on my TV. Mm-hmm. I was sitting up, I put the music up, not like loud, but it was like, you know, like I'm watching a movie.
What number?
Probably about 25.
Nice.
That's quite
very
loud.
Nice. That's pretty loud.
Yeah. That's a quarter of the maximum volume.
Yeah, it's a bassy sub. Woofer as well, so.
Oh, you got that bass going all the way.
Basically Dom myself. I don't know. It's worth trying, and it definitely is almost entirely a taste thing, this game.
Yeah.
Because I reckon very few people will think the gameplay is amazing.
Sure.
But the visuals and the music have... it's a piece of art that I did not respond to.
Yes.
I'd love to... Yeah, the person who thinks that the album is the worst thing they've ever heard.
Not the worst thing I've ever heard.
But they also hate the visuals, but they're just loving that gameplay.
Love the gameplay.
Just slogging through this these colours are making my eyes hurt. This is the worst kind of music I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Right, and A. It's all you need. It's all you need.
This is pure. This is like Pong.
Yes.
This is getting back to basics.
It makes me want to play proper rhythm games, though. Like, I never played Thumper, and I think that I will now.
Yeah,
Thumper's great.
Yeah.
Can I do a quick shout-out to the person who's listening who was very excited to hear us talk about the PlayStation 5 and has been skipping through in 45-second increments and is now... roughly halfway through the episode with nary a mention.
Well, shout we've got a fucking guy. While
Keep
until
going.
The PS5 comes out.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep fast forwarding.
Yeah.
There wasn't that much to say as well, really. Holiday 2020.
Yes.
Which I think we all assumed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a weird way of announcing a thing with just, some like very specific detail. But it's weird to reveal a thing without going like, here it is.
Yes.
Here's what the console looks like. Here's what the controller looks like.
Yeah.
Because they basically put out a short press release and then they did a big interview with Wired magazine.
Again.
Where they just went in a bit more depth. They were asking them questions about some stuff. But
the controller had a couple new things. The type of rumble was more...
Yes.
Haptic.
Yes.
Whatever.
Is that, that's like the 3D touch. Like it's more depth to it or something.
It's like the Switch rumble.
Yeah,
the HD
rumble
type stuff. It just means you can get more detailed rumbles.
Yes.
Yep.
And what was the other thing? Was it analog triggers?
Yeah, the triggers have like force feedback on them, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun, but I can't think of anything like that big of a deal that will mean.
Again, announcing that without there being anything kind of tethered to it.
Yeah.
As much of a dud as that game was, at least the HD Rumble thing for Nintendo, at least that fucking wacky video with the
1-2
count the balls in the... Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it was like, well, here's an example of a thing that you would do in it.
There'll probably be like an Astrobot sequel that'll have really clever ideas of how to use it or something like that. Or like 1 or 2 things or like... Call of Duty, you'll just squeeze the trigger slightly differently for different guns. It'll probably be cool, but you'll ignore it in the same way that, like, if a controller didn't have rumble at all at this point, I'm not sure I'd give a shit.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Doesn't matter at all.
And there was, like, maybe a microphone in it and maybe a speaker in it, and they were like, oh, I don't know. It's like, well, why are you bothering to do any of this then?
Just a weird half announcement. Like, cut together a little 2-minute, you know, sizzle thing of... Yeah. Very
Nothing
strange.
Nothing much about the backwards compatibility stuff. Nothing much about almost any of it. They're like, the SSD, big deal. We love it. But that'll take a while to kick in for actual kind of gameplay stuff.
And because the Xbox One's big selling point was like, the hardware is the best in the world. But that didn't...
The One X was... The original Xbox One was weaker than the PS4.
Oh, was it?
The original Xbox One was just like, you can watch TV.
Yeah, that's right.
And record it. Then the One X, they pivoted. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But even though, I guess the One X has not made Xbox the console of choice.
No. I mean, like, it has for me just because I like that controller.
Yeah.
But
either
way, like...
I don't think people are necessarily going, you have these slightly incrementally better hardware specs than whatever, therefore I'm going to buy it. It's generally this whole big package now with like the user interface and the Game Pass stuff and the online shit and the games library, obviously.
And that, like, the way they're talking about it, the SSD stuff could be cool in the way that, like, the jump from the original Xbox to the 360 didn't seem like that much at the time.
Right.
But then when people realized how much more they could do with it, you got games like Assassin's Creed and whatever that had these bigger worlds and more sort of stuff going on, and like online integration and things that initially don't make a big jump.
Right.
2 years in might make for some cool new stuff.
I guess you'd assume that every other, well, the one other console that is on the same sort of level will also have that kind of stuff, right? They're just saying like, yeah, we're bringing out a new console is all they're saying.
Totally. The Xbox is the more interesting one because the PS4, the PS5 is like, remember how you guys love the PS4? Here we go again.
Yeah, we're slightly changing the controller and we're improving the hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good, and I love the PS4 and I'll get a PS5, but
they said it'll go up to 8K.
Yeah.
And that sort of shit, which seems crazy. Because 4K stuff isn't really there yet.
It almost feels like we're going to jump 4K a little bit. Like the real enthusiasts went in on 4K hard.
Mm.
But if the next console is 8K from the start...
But I don't think it can, surely.
Mm.
Nothing. They can't run 4K games well enough right now.
Yeah, I guess.
So, like, either that or it just means that forever... games will play at like 16 frames a second because they'll be pushing these resolutions that they can't do.
Or it's an 8K media player and maybe towards the end of the life of the console, games catch up.
PS5 Pro or whatever can do it. It'll probably be that sort of situation again. But yeah, nothing that exciting, but confirmation of end of 2020 is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, probably the biggest selling point for it outside of it having a actual launch date... Oh, no, sorry, actual launch titles... Mm. Is, you know, I've seen a few people online go, okay, well, I guess Death Stranding, Last of Us 2 and Cyberpunk, I'll just wait to go in on them day one on the PS5 on an improved hardware because they all look like pretty demanding technically and they'll probably all run a bit better on that.
Which is, I can't wait. What is that going to be? 10 months?
12 from now.
Yeah. I mean, no, but like from release, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If I can play Cyberpunk day one... with slightly worse graphics.
Well, and the way they're talking about them, surely the upgrade will happen to your older game. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they can get away with it again because people fucking buy them. They snap them up, the remastered versions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That happens. There's a lot of PS4 stuff that they did. Day dot held over from the PS3.
Yeah, GTA 5.
GTA 5 and Last of Us.
I've bought like at least twice.
Yeah.
Last of Us, I think one of the Tomb Raider games, the first one. Like a lot of the first games I owned on PS4
were
PS3 games.
Sure.
They'll do that for almost certain... Yeah, Death Stranding and Last of Us 2, you'd have to think almost certainly.
They're already
within the first
for
year
it.
Of PS5.
Or it just automatically plays it like it was a pro, which would be the good way of doing that.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess a date? Do you want to lock in guesses for a date?
Ooh.
So, holiday 2020.
Yeah.
We're in holiday 2019 now. Is that right? Yeah, basically. It's because it's like Thanksgiving almost or something.
Basically, holiday just means this last quarter of the year, I reckon.
Yeah.
Right. So,
anywhere October, November, probably not December, but maybe early December.
November 4.
Right. That is a Wednesday. I will tell you that Fridays are normally the day.
Friday's
November
6th.
So we got 6th. Yep.
I'll say 6th then.
I'm going to go 20th of November. Okay. 11/2020 will be the date in the US. I think they'll like that.
Yeah.
What date will Black Friday be in the States? Because I would bet it all will almost definitely come out timed to that.
Black Friday.
It's around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Isn't it the when Friday before Thanksgiving?
What?
Isn't it Friday. Like the one that falls?
That's the 27th next year.
27th of November.
Yeah. It's coming out on the 20th, I reckon. And the Xbox 2 will be out on the 30th of November. I mean, October.
Yeah, okay.
It'll What's the first Friday in November?
Is the 6th.
That'll be the 6th, right?
6th. I'm going to say the 6th.
You're both going the 6th?
Right. Okay.
I'm on 20.
All right.
You don't want to go 13 to jump in the middle, Friday the 13th?
Ooh.
Maybe they wouldn't do it then.
No, that's a bad omen.
Maybe a December release date, December 11.
So you think the Xbox 2 is first?
I reckon they're going to try and bring it out first.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Maybe it's... Yeah, what's the... Okay, maybe the last Friday in October then. Maybe they want a bit of lead time.
That's the 30th.
The 30th of October.
All right, lock them in.
I can see what you're saying though about that symmetry of that date because the format in the States is different.
11-2020.
Yeah.
Right.
2020 vision, see that you need to buy a PS5. That's what they'll say. And then everyone go, what the fuck does that mean?
So I'll go, I'm going to go a little earlier for both. I'll say 23rd of October for the Xbox.
Yep.
6th of November for the PS5.
I'm talking 30. I'm talking 20. I'm talking clean numbers. Mm-hmm. I'm talking
nice
easy peasy.
Round, beautiful round zeros in there.
I love a couple of beautiful rounds.
All right. I'm, okay. I'm going to say last Friday of October.
The 30th.
For PS5.
For the PS5, right. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then for the Xbox. So wait, when's the holiday period start? So
we September? Saying like October, basically. Yeah.
It starts in October. Okay.
In terms of the financial quarters, it's that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say first Friday of October.
Wow. It's first and last.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Well,
listeners, you can hold our feet to the fire on those.
Has there ever been a gen where they've launched a, like so simultaneous, so close?
Yeah.
Yeah, last generation.
The PS4 and the Xbox One came out within a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
The PS3 and the Wii came out really close together.
Yeah, right. Fuck.
I don't remember about the rest at all.
But yeah, definitely last generation. I remember reading all of the comparison things. It was all out around the same time.
Because they even announced like really close to each other as well.
Yes.
Because Sony did the one straight afterwards.
Where they were like, we're not doing any of this dumb shit that Xbox did. Like that's actually what happened. Yeah, I remember.
That's the thing. Because compare that to this. And if they were like, yeah, all right, fuck you, Microsoft. We've got better Rumble.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, okay. What do you reckon about price as well? It's going to be fucking pricey, I reckon.
Well, what are they usually like, $699 or something?
Over here,
yeah,
the PS3 I know cost $750 when it came out. Yeah, that was a honker. That was a real honker.
Jeez.
PS4 and Xbox One, I can't remember, but I reckon they're about $600.
Yeah.
I reckon
$650 maybe.
$800.
I think we're talking big.
Really?
The way that iPhones have gone up and up and up, I reckon they will.
I guess it's just inflation.
Partly.
Yeah.
But I reckon people, yeah, they'll push it.
$799, you reckon?
Yep.
Yeah. I reckon if you'd want there to be like something extra, like $799 for the PS5 and you get a VR headset.
Or you get a copy of Last of Us 2 for the PS4 that plays on this.
Yeah, right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that much. That's too much.
Well, it feels like the selling point, and probably I guess it was the same thing too when the PS4 launched, was like, hey, and it's also a Blu-ray player. So if it's playing some kind of like, if it's
UHD, I think it is. I think they announced that.
They're
playing UHDs or 4K, whatever. Yeah,
it's always
an
felt
HD
like
DVD player.
Once you're able to like brand it as like an all-in hub that's able to play this like the most advanced form of home media, it feels like that always whacks that always whacks a couple hundred dollars on it.
I think that
justifies them a bit more.
I tend to agree. I don't know that that is a selling point anymore.
I don't think it is either, but I think like, from their justification, being able to sell it as like, you know, it can do all this shit.
That could be Sony's big misstep if they genuinely believe that.
That was Xbox's one last time. Mm. So, I don't know. We'll see in like a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it felt like it was attractive with the PS4. Wait, could the 3 play Blu-ray? Yeah, I remember getting a PS3 and feeling like, fuck yeah, I can play Blu-rays now.
Yeah.
I didn't know a single person who had a just straight up Blu-ray player.
Right.
I bought the Matrix PS3 box set on Blu-ray when I got a PS3.
That's so cool.
And Planet Earth.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, damn, that Keanu Reeves.
I think I might think I got Planet Earth as well with my around the same time.
It was definitely one of the big ones.
Yeah.
I bought Tropic Thunder.
Great.
Tropic Thunder, Drive, and the LCD sound system documentary, because it has like the full concert in Blu-ray format.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Blu-ray, Blizzard's logo's blue. There you go. What about that for a segue?
Yes.
Blizzard had a whole fucking thing with, what's his name, the player? So Blizzard banned a Hearthstone player.
Yes.
Because the Hearthstone player yelled out a Hong Kong liberation slogan after he won a thing. So they took all his prize money away.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They banned him for 12 months and they like, I don't know if they like denounced him. I think they just quietly did that.
Yeah, yeah.
And have since cited it as being like a rule that they have that's nothing to do with them expanding into China and wanting that market and all that sort
and
of stuff.
And current, like, massive political tension between Hong Kong and China.
Yeah.
Like, Hong Kong is running riot, literally. And so something else happened in the NBA. One of the team owners basically tweeted something like Free Hong Kong, some pro-democracy slogan.
Yeah, right.
And there was massive backlash against the entire NBA as well.
Wow.
So this is clearly extremely sensitive politically at the moment.
Blitzchung is his name.
I just spent
not his real name.
A weekend with our friend comedian Aaron Chen.
Yes.
Who just went to Hong Kong on a holiday and accidentally booked an Airbnb deep in the heart of the protest zone. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Good Lord.
Yeah. He said it was like, as a, in terms of you being a, you observing it, it was like fine. He didn't feel like unsafe or anything.
Right.
Because you're not protesting, you're just there.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really too fussed with anyone who's like not in the guts of it.
Yeah. It looks, it's been made to look like the whole country is rioting.
Yeah.
Which it's good to hear that it's not actually.
I'm sure it's
like
very
that.
Full on, but if you're not engaging in that stuff,
yeah.
I don't think you're getting like you're not in danger of getting. I mean, yeah, I could be completely wrong, but that was the impression that he painted. But that is just fucking. I just love the idea of like you got suitcase in hand, staring down at your phone. It's like, this guy has given me the worst fucking directions to this place. Like tear gas going off around you. Like, where's the fucking Maccas? I can't. This guy's off his head.
You're like walking into Tiananmen Square. Like, apparently my apartment's in front of those tanks.
Yeah,
I guess. All right.
I wish I'd have brought luggage instead of these plastic shopping bags. Yeah.
God, all right. I guess I'll just wait here till I can find the apartment.
Excuse me. Up there, do you know, is this an Uber or what are you driving?
There's a bunch of stuff has happened. People are, people are pretty angry at Blizzard for it. Mm-hmm. A lot of sort of boycott calls and all that sort of stuff. People who do announcing for their competitions are saying they'll never do it again unless they go back on it, da-da-da-da-da. They have cancelled an Overwatch tournament they were going to have to celebrate the Switch release thing.
Right.
Wow.
I think they're going to hope it all blows over, seems to be it. Like, what else can you do? Because, they have explicitly said that this is not the case, but the Chinese market is worth a lot of money for video games, especially the sort of video games that Blizzard is pushing more and more into making.
Yeah.
And without that market, without the ability to trade there,
yeah,
not that the general people or population of China will have a problem, but the Chinese government itself can literally go, see you later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, they're owned by Tencent, I think, which is a Chinese company.
Ah, yes.
Right.
They own Activision, who owns Blizzard.
Yep.
So, there's kind of a paper trail as well. It's pretty shitty.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, like, not to conflate the two things, but with the NBA stuff, it's very, very similar.
It is the same because it's a sporting contest, essentially.
That is seeking to expand into China because there is billions of dollars in that market. But some of the players in the NBA have come out and been like, I think this guy was maybe not educated on the issue. Like, you know, it's
like
awful.
LeBron
shit.
James has, right?
So he has, others have as well. Some of them have come out, like the chairman or the commissioner, Adam Silver, was like, we respect everyone's ability to share their opinion. Mm. But obviously behind the scenes, the organization is like, we're really sorry, China, but this will never happen again. And this guy, we will, we'll sanction this.
This player has gone back on, has apologized for all that stuff, which to be fair to him, you know, you don't want China to be your fucking enemy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's other than me, fuck off, government of China. I only said chai. I meant the tea.
I do not endorse even that. Even that much. I will not. This does not reflect the opinions or the beliefs of this podcast.
Yeah, we don't want those tea barons coming down on us. Yeah. We don't want fucking.
Is referencing chai tea. That's not some ancient British racist term for China. Just to point that out. Which it maybe could be. It sounds, I don't know.
Yeah. Taiwan.
Anyway,
is a T word.
I reckon
Lipton,
it's not that
T2,
weird.
Lipton, T2, you don't need to come after us.
Tibet.
Yep.
That's got two T's.
Yeah. Yeah, free
sorry,
tea.
No, no T's. It's C-H-I-N-A. That's how you write it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, no, the Chinese government's fucked. I'm more than happy to say that.
Yeah, they're what am I looking for? An authoritarian dictatorship that restricts people's free speech.
Well, that's a strange thing to be looking for, but all right.
I don't know if I've talked on the pod about it, but I went to Shanghai and did gigs a couple of years ago. That was very interesting because you get told explicitly, no government chat up on stage.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was really interested. I was like, I kind of freaked the club manager out by saying this. I was like, I'm not going to do this, but I'm simply curious. Let's say that I was to get up and do that. What happens? Mm. And he was like, well, you would probably have someone in the crowd that would like rat us out to the government.
Yes.
And then next day... Because
you literally earn like social points for doing pro-government activities and things like that. Yeah.
Place would get raided. You would be sent home immediately. Club would get shut down. And it's like, it's weird because you go there and it's like, great. Everyone's very friendly. It's like very chill. There's like, you know, it feels, certainly in the part I was staying in, feels safe and chill and just like a fun vibe. But then, yeah, you just hear about all these things. It's like this weird little
do you ever hang out,
undercurrent.
Like spend time with a friend whose like dog has died recently or something and everything's fine and it's just normal.
Is that going through a breakup maybe?
Yeah, and an ad will come on with like a golden retriever that looks like their golden retriever and all of a sudden you're like, oh, fuck.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
It's like that, but the government.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, yeah, they... Of course they're going to do this. Activision's one of the most gross companies. Mm. Blizzard is becoming more and more, you know, further away from what it kind of was. Because there was a time where Blizzard was always heralded as like, they're the top of the top.
Yeah.
And
good customer support, like good, like first, like multiplayer networks and stuff like that. Like really, pro-consumer.
They're the people, those people have gone.
Yes.
From the company a lot.
The money people are there now and they want more money.
Mm.
So... Yeah, pretty kind of a shame, but I don't know.
It's kind of disturbing to have these two huge, instances of people bowing to an authoritarian government.
It's going to happen more and more and more with China as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's the world's pretty weird, man.
Mm.
Well, dude.
Luckily, we make no money in China. If we did, the second we did, what's Tibet? To everything.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to bet on China.
I will not be Tibetting on our relationship.
Well, speaking of Overwatch.
Here we go.
Similar game to Overwatch, Fortnite. Kind of.
It's a multiplayer game.
Multiplayer game, yeah, popular, sure. Online.
You pull triggers and stuff,
shooter.
Cartoony graphics.
You wouldn't even be the Segwayers. Sidekick.
Assistant.
No.
That's how you beat the Segway. You do really bad segways. Batman just does a bunch of shit segways and he's like, I can't handle this, Batman.
Yeah.
Or would Bat... No.
Speaking of handles, I'm going to ride away on this motorbike.
Fortnite, what happened at the end of the season? They kind of break...
They've done 10 seasons.
Yeah.
And this is what they're calling the end of their first chapter. And they've already launched Chapter 2 now.
Right.
But for a period of time, the whole game was shut down. Everything was offline. There was just like a little black hole if you turned it on.
You couldn't do anything. People were freaking out thinking that the game was just done.
There was like
all the in-game money that they'd spent was just gone.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
There was like
a
big explosion
thing. That had happened.
In the game. I watched video of it.
Right.
Like all the players kind of saw the same thing happen of this black hole opening. And anyway, there's a new map is why.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
What?
Lady Gaga tweeted, what's Fortnite?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's pretty funny.
How long was it dark for? Because I fucking kind of love that they did that.
Yeah, I think
this
it's
huge
great.
Base and they just fuck with them for like a week.
Yeah, like 24, 48 hours type of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
maybe a bit longer even.
Ages for something like that to just hang there with no clear indication of what's happening.
I mean, if they just knew like, hey, our servers are going to take a while to update all this shit. And then they worked backwards from there to go, like, let's make it this fun thing. Pretty clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't really know what the story of Fortnite is or anything, but there was some lab that was exploding and dumb-looking people running around.
Mm-hmm.
Flossing and doing the nay-nay while they're getting sucked into a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the way I want to go out.
I'm going to dodge it because at the last second I'll dab really hard. And then the force of that will sling me out the side of the black hole.
Yep.
That'll be cool.
That's a good plan, dude.
Thanks, man. I don't reckon it'll come up. None of us have played Fortnite, really.
No.
So yep. Nothing really to say on this.
I just think, I agree, I like it. I like that they did it. Yeah. I like that they, it's like, because if you get really upset about it, that's on you. That's entirely on you.
Yeah.
Well, they had a couple of days of people chattering about it online and speculating, which ultimately is good for them.
Yeah.
A lot more valuable than the wheels just cranking and turning again and again.
Yeah.
That's cool that there's a new map. I don't know if there's a way to play the old one now. I think it might be gone.
Oh, right, yeah.
But that changed over time as well, I believe. And with that type of game, the map is all there is, really.
Yeah, sure.
So isn't there only ever the one map on the go at the time? That's the impression I've always gotten, is that there's only ever the one on the go at a time, and then that changes periodically.
Depends on the Battle Royale game you're talking about.
No, I mean in Fortnite specifically.
In Fortnite, I think it's always been the one map and the areas change a bit over time.
Right,
yeah. And now it's a completely new map.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a big deal for people who play that. Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, someone emailed us during the week asking if we would talk about it. A teacher.
Yes.
Who said that the 12-year-olds in his class were freaking out over it.
Yeah.
And wanted to know if we would have our hot take. And I mean, our hot take is we don't
care.
Really any opinion nor care about it either way.
It's not, but it's like this generation's fucking Who Shot Mr. Burns, right? Like, I can't believe we have to wait a week.
Yeah.
It's the same thing of just like, oh, what's happening? And everyone talks about it and it's just kind of fun.
Did anything, like, apart from that, because I don't remember that happening, literally Who Shot Mr. Burns.
Right.
I think I might not have seen that until what? I was older.
Or just watched it and misunderstood it because of the music and colours going
past. Yeah, it was certainly easy to play. No, I don't think I watched it at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
I think I came back to it later as, like, not an adult, but later.
Yeah.
But was there like a game, like there's nothing really that's the equivalent of this Fortnite thing. Like, it's not like Pokemon cards shut down for a week.
Final Fantasy 14 reset itself into a completely new game. That's pretty similar.
Yeah.
In terms of a game just completely shutting down. Yeah.
MMOs have like fully shut down before.
Yeah, that's true.
Servers have been turned off, switches have been flipped. Xbox Live was kind of like this when they turned off the original one of that. People didn't realize that if you were already playing, you could keep going.
Right.
So there were people playing Halo 2 for like fucking years after it was meant to have closed down.
Fuck.
Because they were just like, don't let it stop.
Yeah.
We'll be the last ones. Microsoft's like, you fuck off.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
So there's been stuff like this. It's not like they, you know, invented it, I guess. Mm. But it's cool when you're running a service game thing. This is how you tell a story.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is nice.
Can't believe you didn't see Who Shot Mr. Burns?
Well, when did it come out? What year?
95, maybe? 96 over here? 97 even, possibly?
Yeah, I don't think
I was...
Because
we're the same age, and I vividly remember it.
Yeah, I don't think as a 10-year-old I was, like, super dialed into The Simpsons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think it would have been a couple more years.
I've told this somewhere before, but I distinctly remember that being in the time back when stuff would air in the US so long before it did here.
Mm.
And I was looking through the Green Guide one day, the television lift out in one of our local papers in Melbourne, and just reading the letters page, and someone had written in going like, yeah, just got back from the US and saw the wrap-up of Who Shot Mr. Burns. Maggie did it.
Oh.
And it was, and they made it Letter of the Week. And they're like, it's just like their, you know, Letter of the Week often has like a, you know, a picture related to what they're talking about. So I'm like, oh, cool, someone's talking about The Simpsons. I love The Simpsons. And then I'm reading and getting it spoiled for me. And then it's just like, and then their like follow-up is like, interesting theory you've got here. Well, we'll all wait to find out whether this was true. And it's like... He didn't say, here's my theory. He literally said, I've come back from America and seen it.
Oh, fuck.
What a fucking dobbing little cunt coming back from a holiday and spoiling it in the newspaper.
He would have been in America on September the 17th, 1995 then, because it would have been the season premiere of the 7th season, whereas part one, as we all know, was the end of season 6 on May 21st, 1995.
Yeah, I've only ever watched it one episode right after the other.
Yeah, no, there was a big gap in between. I don't remember if that happened here. It might have just been a week over here.
Right. No, it was... It was months.
Was it really?
Yeah,
well?
Yeah, it was months. Wow. Yeah,
okay.
I remember people at school just going fucking off about it. I've been playing something during the week.
Yes.
I've been playing a game called Ukulele and the Impossible Lair. Mm. The original Ukulele came out, I feel, relatively early into us doing this pod, a little while ago. But I remember talking about it on this.
Yeah, we did. But it went in 2016 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us particularly liked it.
I actively disliked it from memory.
Yeah. I never played it.
I really didn't like it at all.
Because you guys were like, I don't like this game.
Yeah. It just was like sludgy. And the controls, I remember just not being there. The levels being a bit confusing.
Right. Yeah.
It ran pretty poorly. It was my memory of it. Just not great across.
I just remember it being too tethered to the whole thing of like trying to recreate. Trying to capture this feel of that style of game to its own detriment.
Yeah.
But that team are back. They've taken these characters and what they've done is made a 2D side-scrolling game. And everything that I didn't like about the original version, their 3D version, is not present here. This is great. This is a really great 2D platforming game.
Right.
All the ways that the kind of 3D version felt kind of bogged down by trying to kind of, you know, capture this feel of what those games felt like. 2D platforms are almost more tropey, but they've managed to kind of innovate and do this kind of fresh thing where there's a couple of things in here that are pretty unique for 2D platformers. So the very beginning of the game, you get thrown into the titular impossible lair.
Yes.
It sounds like you're just saying impossible, but like grossly. Impossible lair.
Impossible lair.
Yeah, I'm doing a bit of Alfred E. Newman at the end. Impossible lair. You get thrown into this lair and it's like you cannot beat it. It's this brutally hard platforming level with like spikes and difficult jumps and all this kind of shit. Mm. So you are meant to fail it first go. You then get thrown into this overworld map and you then have to go through and clear these individual levels. And each level that you clear, you rescue a little bee who acts as a bodyguard for you. And so you basically can go back and try that lair at any time you want.
Mm-hmm.
But the more of the levels that you've done, the more of a shield that you have.
Right.
So each of those little bees is effectively one more hit that you can take.
Right. Breath of the Wild kind of thing.
Kind
of,
yeah. So I think you end up with ultimately like 48 of them.
Right.
Which would make it, you know, I think you would be able to get through with that number. But yeah, you can have 10 and go and have a crack. Like,
right, right.
So it's kind of an interesting thing that you can go back at any point. And the overworld map that links all of the side-scrolling levels together is interactive and has its own little puzzles in it from getting level to level, almost like a very light version of a 2D top-down Zelda game.
Right.
So you kind of, you know, unblock this path and go, you know, talk to this guy and then he, you know, flicks that switch and da-da-da, all that kind of stuff, including things that will... You like there's one level that you go into and it's just pretty straightforward and then you can go and in the overworld flood the area that the entrance to that level is in and then you go back into that level and it's full of water. So it functions completely differently. You can get into different areas. So most levels have kind of like two different versions of them where, it changes the feel pretty dramatically. Mm. But yeah, the platforming is great. The levels themselves, the design and everything feels a lot like Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, if you enjoyed that. It's very similar kind of thing. So if you've been, if you've got a bit of a 2D platformer itch that needs scratching, really recommend this. I was like, try it just to try something new. But yeah, been really hooked into it.
Yeah,
really enjoying it.
I did love Tropical Freeze.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite games I've played in the past, few years.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy this. It's fun. It still has a bit of the big problem of the original ukulele, which is like their kind of, you know, new version of their classic thing that they were making back in the days of Rareware is like feels a little dated and a little sort of like, I don't know, a little like slightly naff.
Right.
Like I keep thinking if they still had the Banjo-Kazooie license and this was just a Banjo-Kazooie game in a 2D style, it'd be a fucking a million times better.
Right.
But, you know, it still kind of has its own charm. Like that Grant Kirkhope guy has done all the music who did all the classic Rare music and did the Mario Rabbids music as well.
Right.
So he's like a good composer. But yeah, it's good. It's an eShop game. It's like $40.
Mm.
It's fun.
Yeah, nice.
I'm really enjoying it. It's a solid platformer.
Sick.
And especially to this team, like their original ukulele, I felt, it got kind of panned and people weren't that into it. So I think props to them for going back to the drawing board and kind of finding a format that does that they've really made work, and they actually have made their own instead of it feeling like just a carbon copy of just, you know, people's nostalgia.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of rare, Batman. We'll have a new Bandcamp episode up next week sometime about Rareware, the history of Rareware.
Yeah. I feel like we've been hyping this for way too long.
Yeah, maybe.
But we actually are recording it this weekend. Yes. So, yeah.
It will be out next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
well, if you're on Patreon, it'll be out next week, and then it'll be the week after, actually.
Yes, that is true.
To correct myself.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. The sweet, sweet patrons who are on the $20 tier, I believe, get it a week early.
Early.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, if you want to sign up to the Patreon, you can get an extra episode of this every week.
Yes.
Always a good time doing them. A lot of good ones in the catalogue.
Last week, we talked about something weird that happened to you in this very apartment, Thomas. Mm-hmm. We also pitched the opening for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games and talked about a bunch of other stuff. We also reviewed Joker the week before.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah.
We're talking that Breaking Bad movie, not the next one, but the one after.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, we better wrap it up for another week. Oh, just quickly, I showed my dad Goose Game and he liked it.
Cool.
Just quickly, we went to PAX.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, I forgot about PAX. Not much to say.
No, there isn't really. Like, I would only be talking about it more as a general experience. Like, all of the games that are there, that were there, are games that I've already watched trailers for.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a peek at some of the Final Fantasy VII stuff because people were playing that. I didn't line up to play anything because I hate lining up for stuff.
Maybe we'll dig more into that next week, actually, because there's some stuff there to
talk
about.
There is some stuff, yeah.
Or at some point we'll be talking about things that are coming out next year too, so that's when that'll be useful.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, PAX we've talked about it as an experience before.
That's true.
Well. Yeah. But yeah, there was some stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about it next week.
Yeah,
cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us. filthycasuals.com.au for the links to the socials and the Patreon and the Bandcamp and all that sort of stuff. We'll see you next week.
Mm.
Until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Next week. Speaking of week, how about I make this ending week, Batman?
He's nailed it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.